This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Thanksgiving, everybody. Kate Delaney. I tell you, it's kind of a mixed bag when it comes to this holiday. I love Thanksgiving, and I hope you're spending it with people that you love and care about, too, as well. But I was just reading something. I might have come across it in the USA Today. So do you want the bad news about Thanksgiving dinner? Do we care? I mean, look, you know you're going to load up your plate. You know you're going to eat more turkey the next day, if you eat turkey. Well, I was just reading their comparison as to what it was like a Thanksgiving Day meal as to how many calories it is. So let's just say you have mashed potatoes, gravy, dinner rolls, vegetables, which would be good. Turkey, maybe you don't do turkey, maybe you do ham, maybe you do something else. You're watching football, you're watching World Cup, so you're sitting around a lot, and then you're probably dipping into appetizers, cheese, crackers, chips, deviled eggs, drinks, you know, whatever. And then there's the pie, pecan pie, not low in calories, pumpkin pie, not low in calories. So I was looking this up, and USA Today did a fun little feature on it, but I've got this from other sources too. The typical American consumes 3,150 calories and 159 grams of fat. I could barely get that out. This is, by the way, according to the Calorie Control Council, the CCC. Did you know we had a Calorie Control Council? Yes, there is one. So for normal days, the intake is tops out for most people at 2,200 or maybe even 2,800, which actually is not that low. But for Thanksgiving, they compared it to what I read. This was the extra part. It would be the equivalent of 5 to 8 Big Macs. So it means that you are eating on Thanksgiving, my friends, maybe up to 8 Big Macs. Wow. I mean, here's the thing. Can we for once enjoy our meal, though, and not have to calorie count? I get it. I mean, especially me, I totally get it. I have the Apple Watch. I'm like looking at every step I take. Every day I'm getting over 10,000 steps. You all do your own things. You know it, right? You're trying to do it. So, I mean, here's the thing. I guess just try to be careful before the Thanksgiving meal. If you wanted to preserve a few calories, maybe you don't chow down something big at lunch or eat later in the day. Again, it depends on when you do your Thanksgiving. That's why kind of an early-ish Thanksgiving is sometimes good, because then you're not tempted to do whatever you would normally do. But anyway, I just thought I would be the person to fill you in on that fun fact. I just am kind of wrapping my mind around 8 Big Macs, or, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow. This story is incredibly sad, but I feel compelled to tell you about it because, unfortunately, we're having too many of these shootings. I mean, can you not go shopping? Can you not go to church? Can you not go to school? Can we not be in our own houses without fear of this? And unfortunately, this time it was a Walmart manager who freaked out. He just started shooting and he opened fire in a break room. He killed 6 people in Chesapeake, Virginia. And there was a 911 call. So luckily, again, great job by the first responders. They scrambled. They got there as fast as they could. They found people wounded or hiding in the store. You had rescue and tactical teams that swept through the store as fast as possible. They did some life-saving measures. That's good. So at least 6 survivors were transported to local hospitals. 1 was in critical condition. And, you know, it's like what the city manager, Chris Price, said. He said, you hope a day like this never comes. But we live in a world now where you train for it. They practice. They talk about it. They learn the lessons so that they can respond quickly and do what they have to do. So, of course, the shooter died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and the handgun was recovered at the scene, and he was carrying multiple magazines. The bodies of 2 victims and the shooter were found in the break room, like I said, where he opened fire. And, you know, there was 1 in front of the store. 3 others were transported to the hospital. They were part of the crew that was transported, and they didn't make it. And the gunman was this 31-year-old Andre Bing, who was a team leader who worked for Walmart since 2010. And they searched his house. They were trying to, again, it's the question mark. Why? why? What is the motive for this? It was really, really scary to listen to somebody this morning on GMA say that, you know, the workers were in the store's break room at the start of a shift. When that happened, he didn't say a word, and he just started firing. He just started shooting throughout the whole break room. So multiple people just dumped to the floor looking for cover, doing whatever they could. And, you know, this employee who was on the show said, look, I just started 2 months ago. And he had worked with the guy the night before. And I guess he had a history of writing up employees because he was a leader. He had a history of writing up employees for no reason. But they didn't talk about negative encounters with him. So this is really, really, really tough. And of course, you have people that issue statements like the Virginia governor, Youngkin. What's he going to say? Support and sympathy. But we're saying that too much. I mean, it is. It's just ridiculous. And you know how I feel about this. And we talk about it all the time on the show. I mean, you know, who knew that was going to happen? The answer is nobody did. Can they find any kind of a motive for it? You know, who knows if they'll be able to come across that or not. It doesn't do much, though, for those, you know, for those families that find themselves in that awful, awful situation where they're left without somebody that they thought they were going to spend maybe a Thanksgiving meal with and the holidays with, and they're asking that same question, why? This year, we talked about inflation probably ad nauseum, but trying to understand it, trying to see what could work that would pull it down. We know that there's the yin and yang of the Federal Reserve trying to bring it down by aggressively raising interest rates, even if it scares us and pushes the economy closer to a recession. And that's the scary part to me, is that. So prices are still soaring. It's hard for many people to get by. We know that we're hovering around 40-year high because of especially the food prices, housing, same thing, and utilities, same thing. The impact on people's wages, what they make, and all that wrapped in between. So now when you look at inflation and you look at the causes of inflation and you look at 2023 and what's on the list, what do you hope happens in 2023? I hope we're not saying that recession word. We don't want to deal with recession. And now we're looking at gas prices again, that there's going to be a new high for a nationwide average that could be, in some places already, up to $5 for a gallon of gas. And that is very crippling to most people. It's peaking in July of 2008. Gas prices peaked at $4.11, but that would be equivalent to about $5.40 today. So anything when you hit five, I think even when you really get over four, that's when it gets even tougher for people to say, yeah, we can't soak this up right now, right? All right, and what is the good news? Well, the good news was, or is, of course, that it's Thanksgiving, and hopefully you're getting a chance to spend it with people that you care about, like I said at the top of this. But I mentioned this before a couple of shows ago about you probably have some streaming services, right? And there's great Christmas movies on. Miracle on 34th Street. I even like the old version, 1947, but the 1994 version is good. I cannot resist Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer always. And Home Alone, come on, give me some Home Alone anytime. You may have a different list, but it's out there, trust me. So happy holidays, everybody.
Stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Hometown Kid, City Kid, a true story of a basketball team amidst demographic change. Jim Dimmick Jr. joins us, and his story is one that some people might even know. For those who don't, we're going to enlighten you as to what it was like and what he went through. Jim, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. I'm glad to be here.
What was it that finally made you decide, I'm going to tell the story, I'm going to write this story?
Well, I was hired as the boys basketball coach in Richfield, Minnesota in 2001. I was the coach there for 9 years. The school district was going through rapid demographic change. My basketball team was 80% white kids who lived in homes. They were sons of homeowners in Richfield my first year. My last year, the basketball team was 80% black kids. And as I went through these 9 years and I shared what was going on with my inner circle of friends and my family, everyone said, you've got to write a book, Jim. This is about a lot more than just basketball. You need to write a book. So that's how it got started.
And what was it like when the demographics changed? What did you deal with? What was it like for the team? What was it like as far as administrative pressures, I guess, and parents?
Well, first of all, I can say that the kids got along great. Getting the parents together was a whole different issue. And there were many white parents in Richfield who welcomed the diversity, welcomed the competition, welcomed these African-American kids in. But there was a small group of people that did not like that change. And the book actually has five different storylines that are all parallel storylines that unfold over these 9 years, and they are a collection of separate incidents that kind of tell this story. And the first storyline is the high school boys basketball team, and we went to the state tournament. First state tournament trip in 31 years. This is we had packed gyms on Friday nights. It was really fun. The second storyline is about the youth program, the kids in grades 1 through 8 that were playing basketball, and how their parents reacted to the fact that my first year, the youth program was 95% white kids, and after 2 years, it was 50-50. And the third storyline is the community, and right from the get-go, there was a small group of citizens. They called themselves the concerned citizens. They did not have kids on the team, and they tried to get me fired. In my second year, after my fourth year, and after my ninth year. And after my ninth year, they were successful with a brand new administration. And the fourth storyline is open enrollment. And in Richfield, at this time, the last 3 or 4 years I was there, about 10% of the student body of high school age students were open enrolling out of Richfield to a neighboring, more affluent white high school. And 10% of the high school students in Richfield were open enrolling in from South Minneapolis, and they were almost all African American kids. So you had 1/10 of the high school age students open enrolling out and 1/10 open enrolling in. And that was a hot button issue. And when kids from Minneapolis displaced Richfield kids, a lot of people didn't like that. And my detractors, I'm sure, would argue that my firing had nothing to do with race. It was about open enrollment. And it was about me recruiting kids into the community that were not Richfield kids. However, if you look at the percentage of open enrollment kids in the basketball program, that never changed over 9 years. It went from a white team of Richfield kids to a black team of Richfield kids. And the fifth storyline is about coaches being fired. And in Minnesota, there was a bill passed in 2007, whereas a high school coach, if he or she gets fired, he or she can request a hearing in front of the school board and state their case why they should be reinstated. And I exercised this right, and I lifted the positive attributes of the program, both academically and athletically. And then I showed the school board with charts and definitions and pie graphs that if we ran the program the way the complainers wanted us to run it, it would be a textbook case of systemic racism, backed up with an argument of tokenism. And so it's those five storylines, and they all kind of intertwine and tell the story of how this inner ring, tight-knit suburb reacted to this. And there was a lot of positives, but there were some negatives.
How tough was it for you, and obviously because you were passionate, you liked coaching the team, the kids got along, the kids were easy, it had to be really tough on you to constantly battle these opinions of people and what they were doing, and then ultimately getting fired had to be rough on you. How did you bounce out of that?
Well, what happens is, Kate, every year that you go through this, and people come at you and attack you, your skin gets thicker. it wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't easy. It was tougher on my wife and my father than it was on me. But, I mean, every time something happened, my skin was thicker. And I came to realize early on that these people were going to try to get me fired for any possible reason they could think of. So I had to be perfect in all of my behavior. And that just became like a sixth sense. You were always aware that somebody was trying to, you know, watch you make a mistake somehow and then tell everybody and then spread the word and add up more evidence as to why I should be fired. Mm. And in the end, when I was fired, it was not embarrassing at all. Everybody was surprised, I think. I mean, a lot of Richfield people came up to me and told me, you know, we didn't want you fired. We had no idea. We had no idea this was coming. You did a great job. Thanks so much. So I had a lot of positive feedback from people in Richfield throughout the entire process.
What do you hope people who are listening to this conversation across the U.S., what do you hope they take away from your book, this conversation, and getting your book, Hometown Kid, City Kid, A True Story of a Basketball Team Amidst Demographic Change?
Well, you know, if I could back up a little bit, I also realized that in order to give the documentary of what happened in my 9 years there a platform, I had to write a short history of the suburb and a short history of the high school athletic program. So, you know, and I've had people tell me that have read the book, well, it tells the story of the inner ring suburbs of Minneapolis. It tells how those suburbs have changed demographically. And I would like the book to raise questions about how we as northern United States white people react to this when kids of color move into our school district. And, you know, it forces us to look ourselves in the eye and ask ourselves, now, are we being welcoming or are we being old-fashioned and racist about this? And one of my friends said, when you add up all the separate incidents, you have to ask the question, was race an issue? And I know that the answer to that question is going to be divided. There'll be some people that would say race is not an issue here at all. It wasn't an issue. And other people have told me, well, race was definitely an issue. So there's two different opinions on this situation that I went through. And when I went through this, when they were trying to fire me two times, it was a big deal in Minnesota. It made the major newspapers. It was on talk show radio. And there was a big public debate statewide about me and about open enrollment. But they didn't really talk about demographic change at all. That was kind of swept under the carpet. And the book shows that that was part of this whole controversy.
Wow. What do your family and friends think now that, yes, you did it, you did the book?
Oh, I've had a lot of positive feedback. In fact, I was over at Richfield for a parade 3 weeks ago, and a woman came running up to me, oh, I got your book, I read the book, I loved it, I'm telling all my friends to read it. I had a retired gentleman in his 80s who played sports for Richfield back in the 1960s when they were a statewide power, and he came up to me and he said, Jim, I read your book, it's awesome, it tells the good and the bad about Richfield, and we needed to hear that. So there's been a lot of positive comments from Richfield people, which has really given me encouragement.
Well, good luck with the book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Jim Dimmick Jr., Hometown Kid, City Kid, A True Story of a Basketball Team Amidst Demographic Change, all the things that he talked about, the five storylines, all of that is wrapped into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Heavy snowfall was expected in Kyiv starting on Sunday, with temperatures dropping below freezing day and night, while millions of people who still live in and around the Ukrainian capital remain with little electricity and heat. Grid operator Ukrainer Joe said on Saturday that electricity producers were able to cover only three-quarters of consumption needs, necessitating restrictions and blackouts across the country. Lots of spending on Black Friday, but bad weather kept crowds thin on what is typically the busiest shopping day of the year. U.S. online shoppers are expected to spend as much as $9.2 billion, according to Adobe Analytics, which forecast a 1% rise to $9 billion. Not all corners of the online shopping world were toasting the season. Some Amazon workers in Germany and France downed their tools as part of a protest for better pay. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. It's such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Magi, a pilgrimage for peace for Jesus' 2000th birthday. Robin Wainwright joins us. We had the most fascinating conversation off the air, so I can't wait to share his story. Robin, thanks for coming on, and wow, what a journey you and your wife were part of, and we got to talk about this. What led you to putting this in the book, and then let's talk about the journey.
Okay, my wife and I got married in Christmas Church in Bethlehem in October 10th, 1992. And we had such a great experience because there's a lot of Christians there in Bethlehem, and Muslim people also were very good to us. So we came up with the idea that for the year 2000, what if we reenacted the original journey of the Magi, following an original footsteps where they traveled and reenacting it for Jesus' 2000th birthday. So we came up with that idea and then started working on it. In March of 1993, I took my son with me. We went, first of all, to Bethlehem, because if you're going to do something like that, you got to figure out how the end of it is going to work out before you go spend money on a rock, those kind of places. So we went to Bethlehem, and I went and met with four different patriarchs of the ancient churches there, and asked for their permission and blessing. And they said, of course, you have it. But each one of them said to us, because they have churches in all those places, including Iran, Iraq, they said, son, you need to know this will be impossible. And so we began to identify seven different impossibles
that we would need to solve in order to do this. And we began to working on that then from 1993 until the year 2000.
So the seven difficult moments, the impossibles, the challenges, tell us about one of those.
Well, for instance, get Iran's permission, and in Iraq we'd have to get Saddam Hussein's permission to go through his country on foot and camel. Surely he would think we were CIA or something investigating his country. So how would we get Saddam Hussein's approval? There were those kinds of problems. And then also there was a problem that even just people couldn't solve. There was a border between Iraq and Syria that was landmined for many, many years. And how in the world, that's where we want to travel, going from Iraq over into Syria, following the routes of the Magi. And that would not be possible. So, but with these kind of problems. But with God, all things are possible. And so one by one, we solved them, including Saddam Hussein. Finally, to get a hold of him is impossible. Is even his top security people, he had 6-7 different castles. He'd send food to all of them, so nobody knew where he was at any given time. And finally, with the help of a Iraqi Christian man who was helping us organize it, he was able to work with top security people, and they got a hold of Saddam and talked to him, and he gave permission for us to do it. He also said, I'll send 200 soldiers with you on the trip. But unfortunately, then I had a big problem because I had to say no to Saddam Hussein because it's a pilgrimage for peace. You can't have 200 soldiers. We had told people over the radio when we were preparing everything that we were going to be praying for people along the way and asking a blessing on them. And that's a pilgrimage for peace. How could you do that with 200 soldiers with you? So we said no. We said Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. He'd be our security. And we did not have any soldiers, but we were able to do it anyway.
Wow, and you made it through. So, and then the landmines, we can't leave people hanging for that because they'll find out more details in the book. But what happened with the landmines?
Well, in 1998, I believe, Iraq and Syria decided to work together because they hadn't been working together, that they were going to move oil from there to Turkey. And so they themselves removed the landmines, I think it was 1998. When that happened, we thought, you know what? Maybe God is really doing this for us. Because we weren't sure. You know, we had this idea. We believed God was in it. But, you know, when that happened, then I really began to say, you know, God is in this.
Right, because of the tough journey, for sure. What was the actual journey like?
It was great, because in each country, we had indigenous Christian leaders that helped organize it all. And also, we had 10 international pilgrims that played soccer, and each village would play soccer with kids and so on. And so, and they also were handling all the logistics, getting information up to satellite, through satellite phone, and all this kind of thing, writing down on the internet the experience that we were having. So we had these 10 great guys. One of them was taking pictures, and in the book there's pictures he took all along the way. So we had these great guys that did a tremendous job. So they really made it all possible. We're so thankful for them.
And it sounds like a long way, too. I mean, because you had different religious types that were again, blessing this whole thing, which is so miraculous if you think about the Middle East and you think about some of the hard feelings and the violence and the things that have happened. To me, that's a miracle in itself.
Yeah, we wanted people to... That's one of the reasons we wanted to do the journey, because we wanted people to see that what we see on television in America isn't exactly, really, necessarily how it really is. For instance, in Iraq, many Muslim people really were very helpful because it's, you know, a dominant Muslim country. So they were quite helpful, and we're very excited that we were going to do a journey because in their tradition, that kind of pilgrimage is very important. And even though they don't understand everything about Jesus the way we do, they honored Jesus. So they did everything they could to help us.
Well, that has to feel good.
Yeah, they were very good to us.
Wow. So in this journey, so you do the journey. What about the people that were with you? What was it like for them?
Well, they were, they did great. They and in the book, I quote some of them as they experienced what they didn't know. Because they, I had already been in the Middle East several decades before while I was in theological seminary. And we had a year to, that you could go on a mission thing, so I went to the Middle East. So I had been that already. But the guys that were on the trip, they had never been there, and they didn't know what to expect. So they were quite amazed that these, you know, these people are people. They have children. They have jobs. They're just real people, just like us. And so they were quite blessed by them. And then their tradition, if you're on a pilgrimage, as you go by their house, they put out rugs and invite you into their house for tea and everything. So many people did that that it was hard for us to keep our schedule because you didn't want to you didn't want to ignore them. So you'd go in and sit down for tea and drink a lot of tea on the trip.
Wow, no kidding.
People were great.
Yeah. The book is called In the Footsteps of the Magi, A Pilgrimage for Peace for Jesus' 2000th birthday. We're speaking with Robin Wainwright. What do you hope people take away from reading about this journey and this story?
Well, to realize that, number one, that there are churches in all of these countries. Most people don't realize that. They don't even always recognize that there's churches in Bethlehem, for heaven's sake. And then to see that they that while there's churches in these countries, they were Muslim people who were quite positive toward us doing this and the way they treated us. We would like them to see that too and realize when you go to people in a certain way, maybe they'll receive you that in that way. So we hope that people could learn something about that.
And we only have, 30 seconds or so left, but what was your favorite country?
Well, of course, Palestine and Bethlehem, where we had a tremendous experience arriving. We thought there'd be so many people that we would never be able to do this, but there was a terrible problem on December 28th of the Second Intifada started out, and there was a lot of violence. So we thought we were so many people, we would not be able to be part of something like this. In fact, we were the main event. And my wife led the caravan into Bethlehem on Christmas Day 2000. And she was riding on the tallest camel because Arabs have a good sense of humor. They thought that was pretty funny to put her on the tallest camel. And we arrived there in Manger Square on Christmas Day for Jesus' 2000th birthday. What an amazing experience. And to actually lead the parade on Christmas, Jesus' 2000th birthday, we were, God is so great. What he did, we can't believe it.
Wow, what a story. And you have so many more details in the book. Like I said, you can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. In the Footsteps of the Magi, A Pilgrimage for Peace for Jesus' 2000th birthday. Robin Wainwright, thanks for sharing and coming on.
Okay, thank you. God bless.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Joins us. His book is called Adam and Eve, The Rest of the Story, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews. We had such a good conversation off the air. I jotted down some notes and actually passed his book on to a couple of people because there's just so much you don't know about the history and the implications. So, Rabbi, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about, first of all, your path to writing this book. Why'd you write the book?
As we had spoken, it started actually as a teenager when listening to a lecture from my father, who was a rabbi until he passed away. He was speaking about the Old Testament, specifically one of the stories, Joseph and his brothers, and I was so fascinated by the approach. It wasn't the classic, you know, childhood story or the things you hear otherwise. It was with insights, it was with personality, it was an analysis of the status of their family situation and how it worked into the politics of the time. I was just blown away. And it started with that. And from there on in, I just kept on looking at the Old Testament as not just a set of, you know, fables or stories. I mean, that's from an Orthodox perspective, we take it as truth and we believe the stories. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing them as human, as real. And as I got older and more, a little more sophisticated and got a lot of training in psychology, etc., things just became clearer and clearer to me about the stories. And that was my first entree into this work, adventure, actually, of how to look at the Old Testament.
And, you know, it's interesting in looking at the Old Testament, too, and listening to the story about your father and listening to how it comes to life. I mean, is that what made you decide, I'm going to become a rabbi because you were so raptured by all of these stories, etc.?
Very interesting. Not really, because I, at least from one side of my family, I'm a 12th generation rabbi. So it was almost an expectation that we would all end up as rabbis, not necessarily working in community or in a synagogue or in any aspect as a rabbi. It was seen really as an advanced degree of personal growth within the religious and the study of the Torah and et cetera and all of its attendant commentaries, et cetera. And there was an expectation, an unspoken expectation, that all the boys would receive ordination. And they did.
I love it. You know, in talking about the Old Testament, what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions and what people don't know? Because you look at what the title of your book is, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews.
Right. There's a fundamental principle in Judaism that, and I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate it for you. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechta. There is no righteous man ever who only did good and never sinned. Sin is fundamental to the human condition. And however we interpret sin, but let's just say not doing as God wishes, right? Not doing what's always good, you know, whether it's in thought, whether it's in action, you know, whether it's in intent. The fact is that we're not perfect. And it's that imperfection which actually makes the Torah, the Old Testament, so much more real. If you approach it as if these people were, you know, legends and they could do no wrong, then we miss out on 95% of the lesson of how great they really were.
Mm.
Because despite the shortcomings, despite the real human condition in which they existed, they rose to extraordinary spiritual heights and then in heroic heights in terms of their actions and what they did to our world. And I mean collectively, not just for the Jewish world. I mean, these were forefathers of most of the world in many ways, especially starting with Adam and Eve. So that's the real secret. The secret is that the Torah talks about real people.
And what don't we know about Adam and Eve, do you think?
Well, we never really knew what motivated them to sin. I mean, think about this, right? And let's take it all at face value. You're a creation of God. There's only two of you. There's Adam and there's Eve. You actually have a personal relationship with this entity that we refer to as God, this mysterious, unknown, spiritual entity that we attribute everything to. And he says, just don't do one thing. Don't eat from the forbidden fruit. Whatever that fruit was, let's call it an apple because it really has a good picture when it's an apple. We all can feel the crisp crunch of that apple when it's delicious, right? And they nevertheless, even though they had everything they could have asked for in the physical world, nothing else was restricted to them. They were driven to eat from that forbidden fruit. Why? For me, that was my biggest question about Adam and Eve. It wasn't who was their tailor, who made their clothes. It wasn't what did they do in their spare time. I mean, that came along with it also, by the way. As you begin exploring, all those questions pop up also because they're real people, right? I mean, the next stage, which is something I'm working on at the moment, is, and from there on, you get to Cain and Abel. That's the next story. So what happened over there? That gets even more maybe involved and more real for our world, especially given what's going on today politically in the world, internationally. But these are real people. How did you make such a serious mistake that literally altered the future of humanity, at least the way Judaism, Christianity, and Islam look at it? I mean, they all attribute this failing on the part of Adam and Eve, the first two humans, who knew God on a level that none, or experienced God on a level that we never experience him on a one-to-one basis, and yet they couldn't listen to the one commandment, don't eat from that fruit. That must have been one heck of a fruit. It was the one thing they shouldn't do, and they did it. So that tells us that that's inherent in the human condition. We just don't listen.
Yeah, no kidding. You can get the book, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Adam and Eve, the rest of the story, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews. For you, what was the biggest surprise in putting this together and trying to put it into a book form and making it make sense so that people want to read it and learn from your wisdom?
I appreciate the question. I think for me, as I began writing it, I actually was able to answer my question. I was able to answer the question of what would have motivated Adam and Eve to do just that, to not listen to God. And the simple answer, believe it or not, was they actually thought that when God said no, he really meant yes, which we so often do, especially in human relations. No, 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 don't buy me that thing. No, 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 I really don't want it. Right? Really? Oh, I think you do really want it. And you're just not wanting to be, you don't want to be dependent, you don't want to tell me, you don't want to be vulnerable. So I know what you really want, and then you go out and you buy it, and it's what he or she did not want. It's, you know, just trust him. If God says don't do it, he merely means it. No means no, yes means yes. God doesn't play that game that we play with each other all the time. I think that was my biggest takeaway from as I developed, you know, as I went through it slowly, looking at the information that the Old Testament provides, which is very limited. As I mentioned to you, the real question that I had when I started, I mean, I didn't really share the specific question, was how the heck did we blow it in four sentences? I mean, the entire episode of Adam, Eve, and the serpent, whatever he or she was, that serpent, that thing was, right? All of a sudden, failure. Humanity fails in the course of four verses in the Old Testament, six verses in the Old Testament. How is that possible? There's got to be more to the story. And that's why I went looking, and I sort of developed what I felt would be the progression from no, 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 to he really wants to challenge us to see how much we love him. And if we really love him, we won't even listen to him, because in the end, we'll understand him better. So to understand him better is the goal. So when he says no, he really says, okay, how much do you really want to understand me? You should be willing to take a chance. Guess what? He really meant no.
Yeah,
he didn't want you to take a chance.
He really meant no. I love this. We have like 30 seconds left. What do you hope people take away from reading this book? And I think you said it throughout this conversation.
Yeah. I hope even more than that. I believe that. I really hope that people walk away and say, you know something? There's something fundamental here that shows a shared beginning for all of us, whether you're Christian, Jewish, Islam, Muslim, whatever walk of life, that there's something that's so fundamental to each of us and real to each of us that brings us together as a single entity. And that maybe we should look at that and think more about what makes us the same than what makes us different.
Perfect place to end this. Rabbi, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.